morning. Good to have you. It's amazing. So, Pat, we had a lot of little pieces this morning, a lot of news and things to speak about in a message. So, but we're going to take our time getting to the message because we got things to think about and process. First, Pastor Don Barnes came with
Ryan.
They drove out 12 hours. 12 hours. They said, we got to go to church in Baltimore. So they, in Greenfield, Indiana, Pastor Don has, and they're watching.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to say something. Do you want to say something? We'll bring a microphone down to you. So that, what?
Sure.
Okay, good. Okay. Because Ryan's the man. He's the man. Just go ahead, say that. He's the man. Praise the Lord. And he goes, Ryan, you got to get down. We got to go to Baltimore and see what's going on down there. That's great. So we got to get the microphone to him. How do we do that? Okay. So here we go. So we welcome him, and we are brothers, and we're having a good time. Okay. Let's keep it that way. Okay.
How do you turn this thing on? Okay. I'm not good with technology. Okay. So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, I feel more comfortable. Well, these things make me nervous. You know how to do it all. God put it on my heart to bring Ryan, the crazy people that love the Lord that I've known for 35 years. And I said, it's going to be a wonderful experience. What's on my heart, what God has put on my heart lately, is 1 Corinthians 2:14. Because when we go out and witness to people, share the gospel with them, they react not in the way that we would want them to act. We would want them to act like, oh, I've been waiting for you to show up all my life. But I would say an overwhelming majority of the people react negatively. They mock what we know is true. They turn it down. And why is that? Because it says the natural man thinks the things of God are foolishness. Why? Why is that? Because he is not spirit-filled. And I'm an artist, so I see pictures all the time. I see life in pictures. And we have crossed over the line. We are born again, a new creation. All the old things have passed away. We are new. And I tease my wife about this. I say, you know, they just don't have that app, the Holy Spirit app, like we have. They're not set up. And I know nothing about technology. She has to do my phone for me. And but I hear these words all the time. We are a new creation. Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit comforts us, leads us, guides us, teaches us. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. They're foolishness. So instead of getting frustrated, this is what God taught me. We know what it's like to be Him. But he has no idea what it's like to be us.
Yeah, I like that.
And we pray that one day he will. And we don't get graded. This is a work of God.
Amen.
We're just sharing the gospel. We're just loving people the way Christ loved people. We cannot judge because we don't know. We're not capable of knowing what's in the heart of people. Only God knows. And I've heard believers judge people, do all that, and I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. But God put this on my heart about judging. If I'm standing, everything that comes out of my mouth goes into the atmosphere, and we know who owns the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why he says, be slow to speak. Put the guard at your mouth. On every word that comes out, let it be good. And if we're standing around with other believers and we're judging, and you know how easy it is to do that. Actually, what we're doing when we're judging someone, talking about someone, we're training the people to judge. And that is so wrong.
Wow, that's a good point.
So dangerous. And so we have to be extremely careful because this life, this new life that we have been given, I mean, I get overwhelmed sometimes that why would he go to the cross for me? And yet he did. And yet he did. And my only regret is it took me so long to find out how much Christ loved me. And I have this relationship with him that is personal. It's just me and God. It's just me and him. I can have access to him anytime I want. Anytime I want. And he comforts me. He teaches me. He watches me grow. He puts things in front of me. My granddaughter's riding horses. And I don't know what you call it. There's a $5 word for what she does, but I don't know. But they start around on little jumps. And after she gets that, they raise it up a little bit. And that's the same way we are. How are we going to respond to a situation? Do we promote the kingdom? Do we glorify the Father? Do we glorify God?
Wow.
Or do we revert back to a natural man that just is in a complaining, negative spirit all the time? You know what? We've had a lot of crazy things happen in the last week. And I hear all these people trying to analyze it and this and that. Nobody knows the truth except the Father.
Yep.
Nobody knows the truth.
Can I repeat that last part?
Pardon me?
Can I repeat? Let me repeat that. His granddaughter does horse riding and over the little jumps and then the bigger ones. And he said that we are being trained also.
Right.
And we got to make those jumps. And what's happened in the last week, let's say, there's the election. Yeah. And then Pastor Luigi Palmieri passed away this morning.
Oh,
yeah, he's one of our heroes in the faith. He had a heart attack. And Isabella Sebastian called me. And he's one of the mighty men, you know. We had Pastor Morrison, yeah. Pastor Carl, Pastor Yorma, Pastor Palmieri. These are great guys. So how are we feeling this morning?
Well, I have a father that loves me, and he keeps it. Now, this is a personal relationship. I know he loves you, too, but I'm his favorite. That's how I feel. My daughter had a bumper sticker on her car that said, "Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite." And that's how we should feel.
Yeah.
That's how we should feel. That's how we should act. Listen, I have come to the point in my life where I've decided that heaven is my home. I'm just sort of working out of town. I can't hear anything.
I can't hear either.
Yeah.
They can hear him online. Oh, thank you. Okay.
So that's it. Our home is in heaven. We're just down here promoting Christ, telling people the gospel. That's it. We're telling people the good news. Who we are to become like Christ. And Christ loves. I'm no theologian. I got about a one-page gospel. But I know one thing. I've seen people's lives change. Real change. My friend Ryan, 2 years ago, Lori and I were sitting at a booth at the fair. And it was the night before we were supposed to come to convention. So this fellow walks by, he points at the cross that's hanging in back of us. And I said, "Oh no, hey, come back here. I want to talk to you. You pointed at that cross, now you're in the game." He tells me his story. Can I share?
Of course.
He said, "My life's a wreck." Said, "I'm addicted to heroin. I'm married. My wife's about to divorce me. My whole world is spinning around out of control." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "I've accepted Christ. I'm a Christian, born again. But I fell into this thing." And I said, "Well, let me tell you something. You may see yourself as a heroin addict, but Christ sees you as perfect. And he loves you." And he goes, "Can you just stay right there? I'm going to go get my wife. She's at the fair." So he brings her back, and I'm talking to him. Lori's talking to the wife. So what we finally ended up with is I said, "God sees Christ in you." I said, "He doesn't look at the flaws." I said, "Sin has been dealt with 2,000 years ago. I said, you're just living in some bad habits. I said, now, if you guys, talking to Ryan and his wife, if you guys can keep, we're going to Baltimore, and if you guys can keep from killing each other, I'll be back in 7 days, and we'll get together." And he's been, I said, "God has big plans for you. You're God's man, and you don't even know it." And so 2 years now, he's off drugs. His marriage is restored. His wife is a beautiful singer.
That's amazing.
He speaks at our church. And you see, our glorious, loving Father can get us out of a place that we couldn't get out of on our own and put us in a place that we could never find on our own. Right? So here we are.
That's amazing.
Worshiping Christ, believing every word walking in it, living it, letting God have us. You know, I had years ago, I was just angry at everybody. Angry. Angry at the church, angry at the people that were in the church when we lived in Lenox. That was my life. And at one point in time, I just stopped. And I said, you know, this is hard work being angry. It's hard work. It takes up a lot of my time.
Yep.
And the people that I'm angry with, it's not affecting them.
Nope.
It's just affecting me.
Yep.
And I'm pooped. And so I think I'm going to make a decision to quit being angry. Yeah. And I will tell you something, and he's heard me say this before, but I was sitting, I think right here, one year, I don't know what it was, and Pastor Schaller said at some point in time, believers are going to have to take a chance with God. And it was like a big finger came down and pointed right in my face. He said, he's talking about you. He's talking to you. And at that point, I said, okay, do with me what you will. And it's been an absolute adventure trusting God. And he's revealed things to me through the Word. I have a hunger now to read the Bible. I get up in the morning before my feet hit the floor. I praise him in the new day that he's given me. My wife and I, it's wonderful. 6 o'clock we get up. She makes the coffee. I pride myself in telling people I've never made a pot of coffee in my life. And she does it, brings it out to me. We get right into reading something, studying it, talking about it. Life couldn't be better. Life couldn't be better. And you know what? He gave us that. That new life. We get to walk in the same peace that Christ walked in. Not a knockoff, not a almost the same peace, not a version of the peace that Christ had, the same peace. That's real life. That's real life. And we should share it. We should share it with people. I was watching a devotional that you gave. You said, we need to call people. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was on Thursday.
Okay.
We need to call people. Tell them that we love them.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
Wow.
And so anyway, that's my sharing. I'm so glad to be here. I love to be in this body of believers, the one that God called me into this place. And I can't wait for all this corona. Who's ever the president? Jesus is my king.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Hey, I guess I'll just go right into I think I'll just do my message. Yeah. All right. So that was amazing. That was so good. That's just what, you know, that was so great. Wow. Okay. So I need my Bible and I need my wife to bring my Bible up. I mean, you could do that for me. Bring a cup of pot of coffee, please.
Wives are good.
Thank you. Okay, I think I need my glasses also. Okay. I was in Florida yesterday and the day before. And Pastor Schiavelli, did you get to talk to Isabella? Did you? Did you want us to just say a word about that? Or we don't have a microphone now. Do we have a microphone? Can you yell or no?
getting a lot of exercise today. I talking to the family this morning and calling a number of his sons in the faith in Africa, Pastor Conan, Pastor Bamuni, Pastor Paul, Pastor Adodo, just different pastors, and just sharing with them. And that's really a something that took place, you know. And for them, I was thinking about my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, you know, as their father goes home to be with the Lord as Elijah and Elijah. And then I thought about another verse this morning about, oh, how the mighty are fallen. Oh, how they are fallen. I'm talking about David, David talking about Jonathan and Saul. They were lovely and pleasant in their lives and in their death. But God really gave me like a verse for the family and something I'll share. I was thinking of flying there like tomorrow, the next day. I don't even know. We'll see what happens if God leads. But he was, this is from Philippians 2:25-30. Number one, he was a brother. To me, he was a brother, a real brother for just for decades in Africa and France. And he was a brother. We were together in the ministry, companions. He was a companion in labor. We worked together. We labored together, a companion in labor. He was a fellow soldier. A fellow soldier, and in the danger in the work, in the danger and all the things that can take place in Africa, he was a fellow soldier. He was a to them, he was your messenger, your apostolos. He was the one who was an ambassador sent to you with a mission. And then the last one was he was a minister in the work of Christ. Those five things really struck me about his life. A brother, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, your messenger, and a minister in the work. And then it says this, hold such a one in reputation. And that means hold them, keep them in honor and revere them and esteem them because they were very dear to Jesus Christ and to his body. And I like this about Pastor Luigi. He did not regard his life. He hazarded his life. He didn't regard his own life, whether it was health. He had issues in Africa, but he never regarded his own life. And I love it. Hold such a one in reputation. Those five things that were said about Epaphroditus, to me, just exemplified his life. Amen. Let's pray for the family right now, okay? Father, we thank you today. Pray for Isabel today for comfort, encouragement, strength. God, help her, God. For the children, God, just touch them today. Sarah, Melody, Sebastian, the grandchildren. God, the family, the churches, the family that's the church in Togo, Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali, Ivory Coast, throughout Ghana, and amazing believers and brothers and sisters in France. And God, just cover every aspect of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we have a lot to... Is my mic on? A lot to process this morning, huh? Thinking about a lot of things. When I was in Florida, Pastor Jeff Brunty came with Kathy Ryan came with John, and Pastor Fires came up with about 20 people from Miami, and of course Chris McFarland there from Tampa, Pastor Chuck Brookie and his wife Stephanie, and people from the past, some folks from the past came. Oh, Kim Hicks came. Some of you know her. And we just assembled, and it was as if it was day one. It was like day one. I haven't seen you for 10 years, but it's like I just saw you yesterday we're on the same page, and we are alive. We are in Florida with a mission and a message. We had pastors get together. We got some young guys like Ryan type of guys who are young and making good decisions, and God is real for them. God is real. God is happy. God is ministering. And then we saw, you know, in the afternoon, the news about the election, and that for many of us is like it's not what we were wanting to happen. But at the same time, we are told to process life. We said it Wednesday night. God is in heaven, and he has done whatsoever he has pleased. Psalm 115, verse 3. And as we heard this morning, jumping over the little horse hurdles, and Romans 5, 3, tribulation works patience. And patience is a big word for us. Patience, hupomene. It's abiding under long time. So I have a couple of pieces here. We have patience in trials. Another word, endurance. In your patience, you possess your soul. Luke 21:19. That's a rhema to me. When I was in Finland my first year, I read that verse. In your patience, you possess your soul. That was my first horrible year on the mission field. Hey, is that Kyle? Kyle, oh, amazing. My son's Kyle's home. It's amazing, from school in Pennsylvania. I haven't seen him yet. Good to see you. Let's come on. Let's have a hug down front here. Okay, so. Possessing my soul, Pastor Don Barnes said, the natural man does not discern or recognize the things of God, what God is doing. We have a need, after we have done the will of God, to have patience. We have a need for patience in our service in the ministry. 2 Corinthians 6:4, 2 Timothy 3:10. When we are being chastised, has anybody here been chastised? Hebrews 12:7, anybody? How could I be a child of God and not be chastised? That's what it says. That our Heavenly Father chastises his children. Have you been? I think you have. But you don't want to raise your hand. Which is fine. Okay. Patience speaks of our character. James 1:4. We have fellowship in the patience of Christ. Last night on the plane, I read Romans 1, Revelation chapter 1. I John, was on the island of Patmos for in tribulation and the patience of Jesus Christ. I think the history of the world is about the patience of God, how patient he is, how much he can minister to us without emotional reaction, but in wisdom he has a plan. In wisdom he has a plan. I have a plan in wisdom. For me, I think I'm going to go on a fast from the politics. I'm not sure. I'm going to go with God deep. I'm going to go with God by faith. I'm going to go with God in the body. Here's a good message. The body of Christ. The body. It's amazing. What is the body? It's a connection that I didn't have before with people. You are my, they said to Jesus, Jesus had a group of people around him, and on the outside the circle was his mother and sisters and brothers. And somebody wormed their way in and said, your mother and your brothers and sisters are here. And he turned and said, who is my mother and my brother and my sisters? But they that do the will of God. That's my mother, my brother, and my sisters. They that do the will of God. Wow. What's the body of Christ? Pastor Shibeli shared a seed thought with me. I don't know when it was, Friday morning or Thursday. And I took that and preached on it in Florida. And it was awesome. And I want to share the seed thought with you this morning. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, isn't it? Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm so thankful for what we are doing. Pastor Luigi and I, we were in the car in southern France with Isabella. Maybe it was a year and a half ago. I like Pastor Shibeli said, we just had so much love for him and Isabella, so much respect. Yeah, such a great fellowship. The things he did in Africa were amazing. The courage he had, the faith he had, the ministry he had in Africa with all the French-speaking pastors and people. I remember being with him in Togo many years ago, probably 30 years ago. And in all these Africans, he's my father. Pastor Luigi is my pastor. He's my father, you know. These lives that have been changed by the gospel and the Spirit of God coming into somebody. That's what we pray for our nation. A revival, a new thing. A wave, a desire, a hunger, not for the wickedness of the flesh, but for the reality of Christ. This church is amazing. When I was in Florida, and I haven't been there for many years, a few years, I've been going to Miami, but I haven't been on the Gulf side of Florida in that Tampa area for probably more than maybe 13 years or something. But there it is. The body of Christ. There it is. That fellowship. Wow. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 15. But if I tarry long, and that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, you would know how to behave yourself in the house of God. How to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, I believe there are individuals around the country that are believers, but they don't go to a church. They don't have a fellowship, but they are believers. I believe there are believers that are scattered around the world that are believers in Christ and they are saved. But they don't have church life. They don't have church life. They don't have fellowship. So, what is fellowship? It's what changed my life. It's when not only I was a believer, but I found other people that I had to give them a little bit of room to be different from me, but I had to discern beyond the fact they were from Maine or they're from the, they were a hillbilly or from the woods, or if they were educated, or if they were black, or if they were white, or if they were rich or poor, if they're from the city or the country. I had to discern. I had to find Christ in the fellowship. I had to discern that. What is the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, wait a minute. There's something in here. You haven't seen it. I got to show you. Pastor Schiavelli pointed it out to me. Because this verse is connected with something he says in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. All right, so let's jump there and we'll go back, okay? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Could somebody shout out to me just because I want to interact with you folks? By the way, I have a way of living and I got to have a lot of fun. I don't know about you, but I'm done with the morose thing. I'm done with the sadness and heaviness. I'm done with it. Oh, I'm nuts. I'm dancing on the sidewalk. I'm crazy. If you just want to have a sensible pastor, maybe you got to move on. Guys, I'm crazy. I'm done. I'm rejoicing all the time. I'm thankful for everything. I'm going to be the song leader here one morning. And I can't understand why we don't have any musicians back here, but that's not to be brought up in the meeting. I just did, though. I mean, I am done. I am having a good time. Now, wait a minute. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, says something expressly. That means clearly, profoundly. And what is he going to say? I make a little diagram for you. Here is the church. Here is the church. And the Spirit of God is saying that there's another thing. And this is seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Doctrines of what? Devils. Okay. Doctrines of devils. Spirit told me, the Apostle Paul said. Holy Spirit said that other spirits are against the church. They're against the church. Why? They want to take people away from the church. Why? Because the church is the manifestation of God. In verse 16, chapter 3. But look at 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They will depart from the faith, apostolic faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. What are seducing spirits? Well, I have to look at, I don't really know, to be honest. But some spirit in the world is drawing me to my natural way of thinking or my natural man, seducing me. You don't need the church. You know, you don't need God, really. I mean, you believe in God. That's enough. You know, we got to live in this world. I mean, come on, let's get along together. Like seducing me, the typical seduction illustration is with Joseph and the beautiful woman in Egypt, Potiphar's wife, and she wants Joseph to sleep with her. And that seduction, is a very real thing. There's like a hook, like, you know, look at me. I got it all. I'm the woman you want. I got it all. Come and be with me. And there's a hook there. By the way, that hook is a very real thing. That thing is a very real thing. Now, when the devil was talking to Jesus in the wilderness, the devil was saying to him, look, I got something for you. I got the kingdoms for you. Turn the stones into bread. You're a powerful guy. Go ahead. You're a powerful guy. You got it. You're amazing. Go ahead. Turn the stones into bread. Do what I say. Come on, do it. Worship me. I'll give you. I am the God of this world. Come on, I got it. It's like I got it, what you want. And when you are seduced and you're able to walk away, do you know what you're saying? You don't have it. You don't have enough. You're a beautiful woman, but you're not that beautiful. You got something to sell to me. You got something for me. Thank you. Not going to happen. I got something else going on. I got something else happening. Isn't that amazing? And you know how that woman felt when he said, you don't have enough for me. You don't have it. You know how she felt? It said in the text, she said, this Jew, this Hebrew is mocking me. He is mocking me. Do you know what that means? It means he is telling me I'm not enough. And what do we say? You got that right. You're not enough. And I am mocking you. Nah, 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 nah. You don't got it. I got something else going on in my life. You don't got it. You don't have it. And you need Christ. You don't have it. That's an amazing thing. The church is up on our screen, is saying to these seducing spirits, we're not interested. And the devil says, why aren't you interested? And there's six reasons, six things in verse 16 of chapter 3. Read that with me, please. Is this, you getting this? Okay, you're not doing too good. I'm trying to minister to you, but I don't know. I don't know if it's happening. Hey, you're awesome. I love you. Let's go for it. Let's look at the verse 16. It says, chapter 3, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What does it mean? Beyond a discussion, beyond question, beyond any positioning of like being suspect to, beyond controversy means it's not debatable. It can't be questioned. The mystery of godliness is extraordinary. The mystery of godliness is amazing. The mystery of godliness is exceptional. Look up on our screen. The devil knows that the church has a mystery that is exceptional, and he wants it done. He wants it not to happen. He wants it not to be there. He doesn't want, was it Ryan? He doesn't want Ryan to find Christ. And finding Christ, he doesn't want him to find a pastor. And finding a pastor, he doesn't want him to find a fellowship, because the mystery of godliness is a reality. Now, what is a mystery? It means it's not obvious. Have you ever noticed in this world how many things are not obvious? It's not obvious. Like, there's so many things I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what is going on. I actually said to that in a driveway in Florida, in a neighborhood, as we were knocking on doors, this young guy was in the garage, and I go, "What's going on?" And this, I'm a Christian, and we talked for a few minutes, and I go, "What's going on?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "What's going on? Why? What's life about? You know, do you ever think like that?" He goes, "I do sometimes. I grew up with Christian schools and everything, but I've kind of fallen away from it. There's like Christians that I'm not like, I don't like what they are, how they live and this type of thing." And we had a good talk. Do you know what? The mystery of being like God is a great mystery that the devil is afraid of. He is afraid of it. Don't be like God. Just be like everybody else. Don't be like God. Don't find a fellowship where God is there. Because if you find a fellowship when God is there, then whoa, maybe you're going to become a man of God. Maybe you're going to become a servant of God. Maybe you're going to be a faithful member of the body. Maybe you're going to be in fellowship with God. Maybe God's going to talk to you and lead you to live a certain way and to have a certain attitude. And even when you get your horse hurdle trials, you're like making these amazing jumps. And you're going, and like people are saying, "How do you do that? How does that happen?" You know, this story, I've told it many times about my neighbor. Remember that story? And he said, he came to me one day, this is more than 10 years ago. He goes, "How do you do it?" I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I see you take the garbage cans from the side of your house out to the street." He goes, "How do you do that?" I'm like thinking, like, what a... He goes, "Well," I go, "what do you, I don't understand." He goes, "Yeah, you know, you take them in like you're happy. Like you take them in like, you know, what is happening with you?" And he said, and so we sat and had a talk on our porch. And he said, "I can't do that without Prozac. That's how I live." And I think it was Pastor Jim Hadley, Jim, right? No, that's Joe. Okay, Pastor Jim Hadley got a job at his house, and he led that guy to the Lord. My neighbor was led to the Lord by Jim Hadley. And my neighbor saw something, and in this illustration, it's about me, which is like not a good way to be preaching, but I can't help but think I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at what God... Now, notice, let's go and finish it up here. It says in chapter 3, verse 16, God was manifest in the flesh. These are all six things that happened to Christ. God was manifest in the flesh. And to every one of them, I'd like to say something from the devil. God was manifest in the flesh, and the devil would say, "No, no, don't do that. No, don't, God can't be manifest. No, no." God was manifest in the flesh, born in Bethlehem. And the devil is saying, "No, no, it can't happen." And so he sends seducing spirits to take this away from us. Because God was manifest in the flesh so that God would be manifest in our flesh. That it would not stop with Christ. But Christ is here. And the devil says, "No, can't happen." And so he sends seducing spirits to take us away from God. I believe in God, but I'm so hurt by how God has treated me, Job 23. I believe in God, but I don't believe that much in God. I mean, I don't want to do that much. I don't want to believe in God that much. I believe in God my own way. Verse 16, justified in the Spirit. Jesus was justified, or we could say honored, by the Spirit in the Jordan River when he was baptized. The Spirit came down and anointed him for his ministry. And the devil says about, no, can't happen. I don't want the Holy Spirit to anoint anybody. I don't want the Holy Spirit to honor anybody's life. No, can't happen. Next one. Scene of angels. What does the devil say? No. Scene of angels. Jesus said that to Nathanael, he said, I saw you under the fig tree, and Nathanael was amazed, and Jesus said, are you amazed at this? You will see angels coming and going on the Son of Man. The angels are encamped round about them that fear him. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angels are in our lives. We are seen of angels. They desire to visit us. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. And inquire and visit our meetings and be with us in a fellowship in the body. And angels are encamped around. And the devil say, no, not angels. No, I don't want angels to be involved in your life. No, I don't want angels. I don't want you to be seen of angels. But we are. This is a mystery. Not everything that is happening in this world is obvious. There are things that are a mystery. And when you look back at Pastor Luigi and Isabella's life, you would say, they would say, in finishing their life, they would say, there's no doubt, there's no question what God did. And it's a mystery. You cannot produce that by the flesh. You cannot buy that with money. You cannot study your way into that reality. It takes humility and faith and trust, and it's a mystery that the devil doesn't want manifested. Next one. Preached unto the Gentiles. Christ preached unto the Gentiles, but so did Peter and Paul, and so do we. The devil says, no, no preaching in Nepal, no preaching in Turkmenistan, no preaching in northern part of Nigeria, no preaching. This is a time of the persecuted church in the month of November. We have a video that we're going to share a few weeks from now about the persecuted church and what the church goes through. Why? Because the devil is against the manifestation of God. God being seen in Florida. God being seen in Baltimore. God's being seen in Greenfield, Indiana. God being seen in the mountains of Nepal. And all these Zoom meetings that we're having and everything that we are doing, that we're not backing off. We are the body of Christ, that we must assemble. And one of the points we made in Florida, because they say, we watch you in the services in Baltimore, and we see in Zoom meetings and different FaceTime and everything, but it's not the same. And I could say it like this, that this brother watches me, but then when I see him, I say, it's finally good to meet you. Ryan, finally good to meet you. We heard about you, but it's not the same. They're just listening to us by the technology. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But the body of Christ is laughter in the car. hanging out in the airport in the Dunkin' Donuts. The body of Christ is a fellowship. And somebody comes near and says, who are you people? Somebody shared that with me. I said, who are you? Who are you people? It happened the other night. Who are you people? Why? What do you have? What's going on? The devil doesn't want us to assemble, but we do, and it's our constitutional right to do it, and we do it. And we do all our social things and distancing and masks and so on and all this. I'm not talking about it. I mean, we respect people and so on, and I understand a lot of it. You know it too. You don't have to talk to me about it. You can if you want to, but I'm into something a lot better. I'm having a good time in difficult times. I'm rejoicing always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm getting prepared to go to prison one day and have a right attitude and jump over a hurdle and say, God is good in our tribulation, and be patient, and you're being conformed to the image of Christ. That's the way we live. Now, I don't need a better life. I need a living God. I don't need my life to be perfect. I just need a living God. I want to find God in my life, the mystery God. And the good news is I'm with a whole group of people that are living the same. The good news is I'm not alone. The good news is that we are in a fellowship in a mystery. Can God heal me of a disease or a virus? Can God heal me of a cancer or a broken bone? Can God heal me of a broken heart or a spirit of rebellion or a seducing spirit that draws me into some garbage can? It's a garbage can, the world of unbelief. The world of the natural man, there's no joy in that emptiness. Just stay home with yourself for a while. And get back to me. Is it anything like the manifestation of God in the body? Is it anything like provoking us in the faith? Is it anything like finding something precious in this book? Is it like witnessing to somebody in somebody's driveway in Florida, with the palm trees there, and the whole thing, and talking? And one neighbor came to meet me because he'd been watching our psychology classes, and he came, and we met, and I go, oh, good. He goes, finally, nice to meet you. Yeah. Can't meet by on the media. Got to meet in person. I think so. The body. It's a time to make more Bible study, time to evangelize more. It's a time to believe God for the impossible. It's a time to have a fellowship in the mystery of God. Let's finish it up. It says the last one. It says, he preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. Believed on in the world. Ha ha ha. Believed on in the world. Some believe. The devil says, no, no, to every one of these six things. No, not that. No, not that. Don't you need this? Come on over here. I got to talk to you. No, not that. Believed on in the world and received up into glory. No, he cannot go up there. He went up and sat at the right hand of the Father. And the good news is that we went also. We are seated in heavenly places. We are the body of Christ. The good news is that we have a fellowship in it. Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. For what? Remember that Jesus never fails. So why not trust him and shout? Trust him and shout. Trust him and shout. Shouting, dancing, rejoicing. Hey, it's all good. Now we pray for our president, if the one we elect, if that's our president, now we pray for him. And my prayers is he'll make, and when he makes a good decision, we will rejoice in a good decision. When he makes a bad decision, then we may recognize that and pray for him. Pray for him if he makes a bad decision And may God help him and help our country and bless us. And if he makes a good decision, we rejoice in that. We pray for our leaders, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Oh, everything's all right in my Father's house. There's a mystery of godliness here happening in our fellowship. Show up. If you're on the internet, come out of there. Come on, show up. Come to church. Believe God. Come on, believe God. Worship God. Come, believe the mystery of Christ. I think there are people falling away, seduced by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they fall away, and we won't ever see them again. They are gone. We'll never, ever see, maybe in heaven, I hope so. We'll see them in heaven. Why? Is that what we learned all these years? Is that what we believe in, that we forsake the assembly? Is that what we are brought into, fear? Is that what we are believing, that there's no fear, that I stay home, I get sad and depressed, there's no iron sharpening iron, no iron sharpening iron, no message of Christ, no glorious worship of Jesus Christ together as the body of Christ? The weak members need to be honored. Honoring weak member. The family is edified. The future is bright. Our purpose is clear. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. One way, it's a sad, sad morning. In another way, we're in fellowship in a mystery. We are encouraged, edified, built up, drawing near, believing you, trusting you. Maybe somebody listening, you're not born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You might say, what does that mean? I say, I know what it is. I was blind. I don't know how it really works. Salvation is of God. Salvation is of God. But I know it's real. The blind man said, I don't know who healed me, but all I know was I was blind, but now I see. And I don't see him. I don't know who he is. But he told me to come and wash in the pool. And when I did, I was healed. And in a way, man, much of life is like that. I don't know. I don't understand it all, but I know what it is. We got here by God. Luigi could say, I live my life by the grace of God. And great things happen because I live by faith in God. God did it. So we say that too. Thank you, Lord. Bless our day today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and I don't know, do we have a closing song? Do we have anyone left? Anybody remaining? Any? We don't have? Okay, so I'll have Pastor Pete close in prayer. Okay.